AI is really changing the way the dynamics are being done in a lot of different fields. And quite frankly, it can be applied in just about every single field you can imagine, from robotics to generative AI to medical devices, remote therapy, like everything you can imagine has some sort of application for it. It's game changing.
Welcome to IP Talk with Wolf Greenfield. 2023 was an eventful year for intellectual property, game-changing in a number of ways, and AI being one of the most well-publicized issues. But now that we're into 2024, it's time to look ahead. We spoke with Wolf Greenfield attorneys from a variety of practice areas to gather their insights on what to expect in the months before us. Let's start with the pharmaceutical industry. The U.S. Supreme Court's unanimous ruling in the Sanofi versus Amgen case received a tremendous amount of attention. The court ruled that several of Amgen's patent claims to a class of antibodies were invalid for lack of enablement. Jeff C., a shareholder in Wolf Greenfield's pharmaceutical practice, commented on the impact this decision may have in 2024.
Generally, U.S. examination of claims in the biotech and pharmaceutical industry will likely see some heightened scrutiny for meeting the 35 U.S.C. 112 enablement and written description requirements for patentability. And hopefully, the CAFC will provide more clarity and establish further precedents for this means plus function type claim format, both generally and specifically in the antibody technology space.
Also on the pharma side, fallout from the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals 2023 decision in the In Re Select case is likely to continue. The Circuit Court affirmed the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, or PTAB's, cancellation of claims for obviousness-type double patenting over reference claims from earlier expiring patents in the same family, in which differences in expiration dates were due solely to patent term adjustment. Jonathan Roses, a shareholder in Wolf Greenfield's pharmaceutical practice, offered these thoughts.
I would not at all be surprised if this goes up to the Supreme Court. And I think the impact of Select, which was nominally more of a tech case, sort of medical device case, I think the impact here on life sciences patents is enormous. And already I've been talking to other attorneys, whether they're in-house at our clients or in private practice, and there's a lot of confusion out there as to how this applies, what patents might be at risk because of kind of where we are now with the In Re Select decision. So it's a really going to be a very active area where I think we're going to be providing a lot of advice to clients and where folks are going to need to be on the lookout for these issues.
Turning to mechanical technologies, the design patent community was impacted by the Columbia Sportswear case, which touched on the importance of choosing a good title in a design patent application. In a case of first impression, the Federal Circuit limited the type of comparison prior art that can be used in an infringement analysis. The Federal Circuit held that to qualify as comparison prior art, the prior design must be directed to the same type of object that was identified in the patent title. Jen Wang, a shareholder in Wolf Greenfield's mechanical technologies practice, offers this advice.
You have to be more strategic about thinking, what are the types of products that you actually care about from a commercial perspective? If you're in a certain industry, do you really care about covering completely irrelevant industries that don't compete with you? So the question and advice to inventors and companies is, think hard about what are you trying to cover with this design? What types of categories of products are most important? And then we can tailor a title accordingly to that. We're not going to be too narrow. We're not going to be too broad, but something just in the middle so that you get good protection, but you're also less vulnerable to a validity issue.
Artificial intelligence touched just about every field in 2023, and that includes robotics. John Harmon, a shareholder in the Mechanical Technologies Group, offered some thoughts on the trend and the importance of filing patent applications in a timely manner.
We basically tell our clients, file early, file often. So if you have an idea that you think is sort of a game changer, it's going to be sort of the future of your company, you should file earlier rather than later. That said, you do need to sort of have that idea of what's the problem I'm addressing it, how am I addressing it? And again, for instances where you're applying AI to a problem, you really have to drill down into the details because you can't just say like, poof, I have AI and I get a patent. it does not happen that way.
Turning to trademark law, the U.S. Supreme Court expressed its viewpoint on the line between free expression under the First Amendment and trademark law in the Jack Daniel's case. In a unanimous decision, the court sided with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey in its legal fight with VIP Products, a dog toy maker whose Bad Spaniel's toy parodied the storied whiskey brand. This is how John Strand, a shareholder in the trademark and copyright practice, sees it.
the First Amendment can come into play on whether there's a commentary and whether there is some kind of parody happening with regard to the name. But if it's being used as a mark, that just becomes part of the analysis of likelihood of confusion. And the First Amendment doesn't automatically protect the right to use that mark if it's going to lead to a likelihood of confusion in the marketplace. And that kind of leads us to the decision that's going to come out in 2024 from Elster that's being considered by the Supreme Court right now and is kind of indicative of where this line between trademark and First Circuit is going.
On November 1st, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case Vidal versus Elster, which deals with a provision of the Lanham Act regarding trademarks using the name of living individuals without their consent. The court will decide whether the USPTO violated Stephen Elster's free speech rights when it denied him a trademark for the expression Trump Too Small. Here's how John Welsh, trademark and copyright counsel at Wolf Greenfield, sees it.
It's very straightforward. The justices were very skeptical about how this has any impact on free speech, because after all, even if Elster doesn't get a registration, he still can go ahead and sell his t-shirts anyway. The justices were also concerned with prohibiting an individual from controlling his or her own name. In other words, why should an individual not be able to stop someone from using his or her name on a commercial product?
Turning to the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, PTAB, experts are eagerly waiting for an updated rules package. Following the release of an uncharacteristically large proposal in 2023, industry experts expect to see a smaller set of proposals and much more clarity. In the meantime, Scott McEwen, a shareholder specializing in post-grant proceedings, had this advice.
I think really it's just wait and see. A lot of the proposals that I expect to be in any proposed rule package will be relatively modest and will be codifying practices, frankly, that are already ongoing and clients are already dealing with when it comes to whether your petition will be discretionarily denied based upon a parallel litigation. You know, what are those considerations? The director issued a memo about a year or so back, which everybody has been following. So I don't expect anything to change radically. It's just a matter of getting those practices committed to rules.
The Unified Patent Court, UPC, and the European Unitary Patent came into full force on June 1st of 2023. As Zach Piccolomini, a shareholder in the Electrical and Computer Technologies practice at Wolf Greenfield, says, this is an area that needs to be followed closely in 2024.
It'll be interesting to see how some of these litigations start to run to completion. So those kind of kicked off mid last year. And so, you know, assuming that these timelines are as quick as they think they're going to be, then we'll start to see some of these litigations run through completion in 2024. There's questions about how patent friendly is it going to be. There's certainly some assumptions that it will be patentee friendly, but we, of course, don't know. It'll help us to tailor our review and advice for clients and for use of that system. So kind of related to that is the patents that can be asserted in the Unitary Patent Court. So there's regular jurisdictional patents as well as the Unitary Patent. And it'll be interesting to see how the Unitary Patent continues to play out in the UPC.
Another issue from the Electrical and Computer Technologies practice concerns President Biden's executive order on artificial intelligence, which was issued to begin the process of setting standards for the development and use of AI. Shareholder Ed Rasavage offers some thoughts.
The reason why we're interested in this is part of this approach focuses on the IP issues, including some patent and copyright issues. The order directs various actions to be taken by agencies, including the PTO and the Copyright Office. And so this order will definitely in 2024 have impacts on patent inventorship, patent eligibility, and with respect to copyrights, a scope of protection for works produced using AI and the treatment of copyrighted works in AI training.
Turning to biotech, one area that received a lot of attention in 2023 was the drug pricing scheme in the Inflation Reduction Act. It essentially incentivized the development of biologics over small molecules by allowing price controls to kick in after only 9 years compared to 13 years for biologics. Dan Young, a shareholder in the biotechnology practice and co-chair of Wolf Greenfield's Washington, D.C. office, had this to say.
On our side, from the patent side, one thing we'll be expecting to see is really just how this plays out. There are a number of cases challenging the legislation, but we'll be seeing in interacting with the companies that we work with likely shifting in the priorities around the different assets that they protect and corresponding looks at their patent strategy to ensure that values and priorities remain aligned with the pipeline plans to the extent that they're going to be shifting in view of this legislation.
Another issue that grabbed headlines was the Biden administration's executive order stating that when new technologies and products are developed with support from the U.S. government, they must be manufactured in the United States whenever feasible and consistent with applicable law. Rob Saar, another shareholder in the biotechnology practice at Wolf Greenfield, shared some thoughts on this development.
It's something to really pay attention to because that obligation carries forward to any partners of an entity that developed an invention under a federally funded project. They now have the obligation to manufacture products that will be sold in the U.S. in the U.S., and the government will now be tracking that information through utilization reports. One of the other things the executive order requests is it urges agencies to consider whether there are exceptional circumstances such that the agencies can require in their funding award that not just products sold in the U.S. will be manufactured in the U.S., but products sold anywhere in the world be manufactured in the U.S. That's a significant expansion and something people should be paying attention to when they're seeking federal funding.
Finally, 2024 may see a rise in Section 337 non-patent claims before the ITC following the Commission's institution of a controversial complaint that was based solely on non-patent claims. Libby DeMarco, co-chair of Wolf Greenfield's Washington, D.C. office and a veteran IP litigator who focuses her practice on complex patent litigation before the ITC, had this reaction to the Commission's end-of-year ruling.
One takeaway for respondents that are named in ITC complaints in 2024 is take a hard look at whether you can file a request not to institute or a request to narrow the complaint in some way. It is rare for the ITC to deny institution, but it's not unprecedented. And the ITC did exactly that in this case, which is Investigation 1380. It even denied entirely as to one specific respondent. And so I think if you can find a strong argument or you look for a hole in the complaint, there's always a chance that you're going to be successful and the ITC is going to not institute as to that specific client or maybe just to a subset of the claims that are being alleged.
Our thanks to all the attorneys at Wolf Greenfield that shared their thoughts with us, not only today in this episode, but throughout the year. And of course, we'd like to thank you for listening as well. We'll be back with a full slate of programs in 2024 and hope you'll subscribe to our series of conversations related to IP matters on Apple, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information on legal matters related to IP, we invite you to visit our website at www.wolfgreenfield.com. Thanks again for joining us on this edition of IP Talk with Wolf Greenfield.